fighting in eastern Ukraine escalates to its worst levels in months, and Vladimir Putin takes a trip to Russian-annexed Crimea. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. Joining me here in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news in Russia this week is RFERL senior editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
So there's fears that the war in Donbass may escalate, with Moscow-backed separatists increasing their grad attacks on Ukrainian positions and on residential areas. There was 19 on Friday night alone, if I'm not mistaken. German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier, in remarks over the weekend, called the situation explosive. I don't know about you, Steve, but this looks like a big psyop to me. I mean, Russia's not getting the political settlement it wants in Ukraine. It's not getting the federalization it wanted that would have basically been able to paralyze Ukraine. So now it appears to be implicitly threatening to restart the war. Putin making a trip to Crimea as the tensions escalate in eastern Ukraine only puts a big exclamation mark on all of this. Do you agree with this? This has all the feels of a psyop?
Yes, I do, actually. I mean, I think you have Putin going to Crimea at the time when this kind of escalation in separatist or Russian-backed separatist attacks is happening. And I think maybe what's happening is that Russia feels, okay, we're not getting what we want. You know, let's tell the West and Kiev that, look, you know, this is going to escalate. You know, maybe we can get some more concessions maybe we can push the West into pressing Kiev to give the separatists in Russia more concessions. And, you know, fitting into this is the separatist leaders calling for more talks by what they insist on calling the Normandy format. In other words, Russia, Ukraine, Germany, and France. So that's kind of an effort to, okay, let's crank this up and, you know, get it back into the international discussions and see if we can put pressure on Kiev to make some concessions and get what we want.
But Kiev's been making, I mean, it, from Kiev's perspective, Kiev's been making concessions. They've been following, they say, the letter of the Minsk Accords. They just passed the first reading of these constitutional amendments that are going to create a decentralization. They even, much to the chagrin of many people in Ukraine, they included in the legislation special status for Donetsk and Luhansk, special status that's yet to be defined. So Ukraine, from its perspective, is following the Minsk Accords, but everybody seems to be on to Moscow's game here, and nobody seems to be ready to let Ukraine kind of turn into Bosnia, which is what basically Moscow wants to do. They want to create this autonomous area that can paralyze decision making in Kyiv. Ukraine and the West are onto that. They're not giving them that. I don't see where any of this can be resolved in negotiations unless everybody just basically finally throws up their hands, gives up, and gives Moscow what it wants. No,
right? No, I don't see. I mean, I don't see that if this is a psyop, as we're saying. I don't think it has a good chance of success.
It seems like everybody's onto the game here, and it's. I stand by how I couched this last week in a piece on the Power Vertical blog, that basically Russia's backed into a corner here and there's no way out. They don't really have any good options because, let's face it, what are they threatening now? Restart the war, maybe try to take Mariupol. I'm not sure they could take Mariupol, to be honest.
No, and if, you know, that's obviously a huge kind of game changer in terms of this war, if they actually try to take Mariupol. This is a time where, you know, I think the West would have to draw a line there and take further action, whether it's more sanctions,
arming Ukraine, perhaps.
Yes, exactly. So, and that comes, you know, in the U.S. election. So, you know, it's just something that, to me, that doesn't seem like a realistic kind of near-term development of the Russia and the separatists making a serious attempt to take Mariupol or the kind of land bridge to Crimea going further.
And they'd be occupying hostile territory there on top of it all. I mean, Mariupol isn't it's Russian speaking predominantly, but it's not pro Moscow by any stretch of the imagination. This would be unacceptable, I think, in terms of blood and treasure. We got to remember the Russian economy is teetering on the brink right now. The ruble's at 65 to the dollar the last time I checked. And if the war escalated to the extent where Russia would try to take Mariupol, and let's face it, that's the only big thing they can really threaten right now. If it did that, I would expect the ruble to fall further, sanctions to be intensified and the Russian economy to go into a tailspin. So this is kind of a hollow threat if they're playing a psyop here. I'm just curious to see how the West handles it.
Well, another thing I think that Russia may be doing is stepping up efforts to create a situation in which they can blame Kiev and Ukraine for an escalation. So, okay, not much was happening. So now we have more attacks. And then, okay, so if Ukraine's retaliating, then Russia can blame an escalation on Ukraine. And that's a way of, dragging things out and saying, okay, well, we're not going to fulfill the Minsk agreements because you're not. In the end, that will be their excuse for we haven't fulfilled them. We haven't withdrawn our forces. We haven't given control of the border back to Ukraine.
Yeah, no, it does create this equivalency. I was struck last week when the Russian Foreign Ministry put a statement out after the separatists started stepping up their Grad attacks. The Russian Foreign Ministry put a statement calling for restraint from the Ukrainian side.
Right.
It's like, we're violating the ceasefire. We ask you to exercise restraint. I said, they got to be like just giggling as they write these press releases.
But I mean, and playing into that is also Naryshkin, the Duma chairman, and others, Russians, talk about, there's going to be a big provocation now from the West, from Ukraine. And I think they're getting ready for...
It looks like a carefully laid psyop. I just, I have my doubts as to whether they can follow through. I think the threat is hollow. We only got a little bit of time left, but there's another thing happening in Russia this week. Today, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is meeting with the Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif in Moscow. What do you make of that, Steve? What do you see coming out of that? Anything?
Well, I don't see anything big coming out of it. I think they're going to talk mostly about, well, actually they're talking now and they're, mostly about Syria and the Iranian nuclear deal. On Syria, this comes after these kind of big flurry of diplomacy in which, it looks like Russia didn't really get what it wanted from Saudi Arabia. And you hear Lavrov, I've just seen the news coming out of this meeting today. Lavrov is saying, Russia's still not giving up Assad. I mean, there's been a lot of talk lately. Russia's saying the U.S. is coming closer to, okay, we can live with Assad. The U.S. is saying, Russia is maybe coming closer. But I don't see Russia's position changing on this.
And Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is meeting in Moscow today with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif. These are the Russians and the Iranians are the ones that want to keep us.
Right, exactly.
Right? And the Americans and the Saudis don't. It seems like shoring up that end of that. So we don't see much movement on that. Russia also seems to be trying to get as much as it possibly can once sanctions are lifted in terms of getting in terms of arms sales and energy cooperation with Iran as well. But although nothing seemed to come out of that on that score.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just want to keep ties with Iran tight in terms of diplomatic. I mean, they've created a whole schedule of meetings through 2018. So I think Russia's just going to be kind of pressing Iran, saying, look, we were with you and trying to get overcome its bad position in terms of competition with European and Western companies when it comes to trade deals with Iran.
Okay, well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to join us. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me has been RFURL senior editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.